Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Friday morning. People have a tendency when things get bad, you know, and they'll look around and they're like, can't get worse than this. Oh, really? You don't think so? Obviously, you're young or you've lived a sheltered life, because it can always get worse. Yeah, no shit. So, the debate, right? How smart was I for not watching that son of a bitch, huh? Exactly. Take great pride in being smart. I haven't always been smart. In fact, I'm not always smart. But in that case, like, what did you think was going to happen? What do you think you're going to get from Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Right? So Joe Biden by himself is a train wreck. Right? I mean, everybody who's in on that was so excited that Donald Trump didn't let him talk very much. It did them the favor of, like, you know, Biden couldn't get a word in. Oh, my God. Thank God. It was the best. It was just the best. So anyway, how funny is that, right? So Biden's a train wreck in and of himself. And so then you dump the president of the United States into that cocktail. And so, again, it's you're watching for the crash, right? That's why you're watching. So if you thought that was bad, and everybody thought it was, right? If you read reviews of it from the left, from the right, everybody was like, make it stop. Make it stop. But president, obviously, everybody knows president and the First Lady have now been confirmed as having the coronavirus. And if you thought the conduct of people in this country was bad, where do you watch it now? It's going to be absolutely abysmal. Yeah, and the case for why we should destroy all social media, turn off every comment section, and go back to three channels is going to get made here as people root for the president to die in public, unashamed. And it will be the cherry on top of what takes us to debating like that. And there's certain elements to it. Social media fuel injects it, right? Politicians play to it, and the media wants to see it. They control that. Because as I said, when we were talking yesterday with Will and Tim and Jeff, I mean, to turn somebody's microphone off is the movement of a finger. You are now silent. Done. So why would the media, why would the people that organize this, I mean, not do that? Well, because you want that behavior. Because it's too easy to prohibit. So, yeah, if you thought that it was bad before, you know, stand by for it, what you're going to see now. And it's just more of the same. And again, to me, the frustrating part is I don't rightly know what turns it around, you know. And so, anyhow. So good morning to you on a Friday. The yesterday I went and I had a kind of a busy day. I went and I bought my camera. Yeah, Sony camera. Sony A7III. Very, very fast autofocus, blah blah blah. It looks like, you know, your 35 millimeter camera. So studio's got, you know, one or two things, little things left to do to it. That's done. I'll use the virtual shooting place that I set up to do post-traumatic winning next week virtually for the cadets at the NROTC cadets at the University of Arizona. Patrick, my number two son, number one in your heart, number two on your scorecard, just like Derek Jeter, right? He's a Wildcat. Greg Lotus just said he's going to join us today. We're going to talk a little bit about bow hunting. And we'll talk bow hunting, one news story, and then one sports story, and maybe a food story while he's on. So so we'll do that this morning. The so back to the camera. So I actually, it worked out well because I was buying the camera. I had something I'd bought that cost me about $160, a frame that holds a backdrop, but I don't need it anymore because of the way I built the set. And so I didn't have the box. I hadn't hardly used it, put it back in the thing. Hey, I don't use this. I bought it here and I'm going to spend a couple $1,000 on a camera. Would you take this thing back? And they did. So I essentially got the lens for free. So that made me happy. Yeah. Then I needed a new phone. The back on my Allmarine Radio business phone is coming off. And the Allmarine Radio phone, it just sits in here. It doesn't do anything. So I could get it repaired, but the last thing I need that thing doing is, you know, going to hell on me when I need it. Because when communications is a huge part of what you do, you need to be able to communicate. And especially when you're expeditionary. So anyway, that's the role that phone plays. So I also had a need for a second camera, video camera, that could shoot simultaneously from a separate angle, right? So I did some research, and the iPhone Pro camera, video camera, is supposed to be the best one. Now, how much better is it? I think marginally. I think it would take done right, which is if you set the camera up and you make sure you make the appropriate lighting adjustments and do things manually as opposed to just hit automatic like I normally do. If you set it up and do it right, I think it takes a professional to tell the difference between the two cameras. But I was curious. So I've never owned an Apple product. Because I consider Apple like this communist organization. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll go get an iPhone and we'll see what it's all about. So I had, I've read stuff about the difference between Android and iPhone. And I know that, you know, a lot of that is whatever you grow up in and whatnot. But I'll give you my assessment after, after dealing with my iPhone for a day. And that is, I think that the difference between the two phones is large. Okay. And I honestly don't know why you would own an iPhone unless you're just like dyed-in-the-wool iPhone person. And many people are, and I get it. But the difference between them is glaring. And I'll have a better, I'll have a more mature opinion on Monday. But the things that you can do to an iPhone, to an Android phone, like to my Samsung phone, I can't do a lot of it with an iPhone. I can't put things where, I mean, the icons auto arrange, right? And so I don't know if I'm just stupid and I don't know how to shut that feature off, and that way I can move things where I want to move them and whatnot. I would think that would be there, but I haven't found it yet. Widgets and things like that I use on my phone. So for instance, on my home screen on my personal phone, right? It's an Android phone. Okay. And at the top is it's like a flip phone, you know, digital, not a flip phone, but it's like a flip clock time with the weather, the day, and the current temperature. So that's at the very top. And then the apps get stacked, and the apps go where I want them to. They don't default to, you know, some order that, right, that they go in. Now, again, maybe that's me screwing it up. And then when you go looking for widgets in an Android phone, I mean, there's millions of them. Not so much in Apple. You're very confined to what you can do. And I couldn't even find a flip phone with weather, time and temp that I could use. Couldn't even find it. So I had to use a couple different things, you know, to do that. That waste a lot of my screen space. So, I mean, so I went to bed last night. I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, I had heard that you don't have nearly the ability to customize your phone in with an Apple phone. So then I thought, well, what are people so welded to about it? Good question. They like the camera. And so I don't know, the audio features. So anyway, I'm curious if you have an opinion, if you've used both, let me know. And so I'm still kind of working my way through it. And I love technology. If you listen to the program, I screw with it a bunch. You know, from building my computers to all the audio stuff I do, and now this you know little foray into studio building, cameras and making videos. I love technology. Messing around with my camera, I didn't even get to the camera yesterday. I was hung up on my iPhone, and so I fired up the camera at about 4:30 this morning, and. First picture was of Jack and Joe, of course, and so it was it's interesting all the things that beast can do. I mean, honestly, and so I'll spend the weekend with that, and then begin to the first thing is to create a version of Post-Traumatic Winning, me performing it on set, and then getting that ready to be. At some point published with the book, which, so pretty exciting. the email. I hadn't thought about the direction this will go with the media. Worse than the debate, though, is sobering. Good Lord. Yeah, you know, I know. I wish I had some kind of better. I wish I had some kind of better thought for you relative to that, but I don't. I mean, right? Louder, more shrill. Is the way we do it now, and that's if you're going to make a lot of money in the media, that's how you do it. And it's just measured discussion. And I would tell you this: if somebody offered, right, an expensive news service, kind of like the Wall Street Journal, and if you offered an expensive pay service that I would pay to watch your news channel, I would do that. I would absolutely, positively do that. Yeah, Bob Nielsen's telling me they have Apple has the best online tech support. I mean, to me, and I've used an Android phone for years. As I look to do the things that I do with an Android phone, can't do them with an Apple phone. So, online support, got it. How often do you use that? Well, I guess if you're Bob and you suck with technology, you probably use it all the time. So that's an important feature. So yeah, okay, I got it. I just and so because he calls them constantly, they know him by first name. Oh, Bob, how are you today? And there's what, like 200,000 people in Apple's help center, and they all know Bob by name. That gives you some sense of how often he calls them. She also says they all speak English. Hey, let's not go there. All right, let's not go there. No need to be like that. We're all trying to be kinder and gentler on Monday, on today. Now, I will say this. What jumped out at me relative to the president, right, is they used the term mild symptoms. Okay. Now, I think if he was anywhere near asymptomatic, they would skew to use that term. He is virtually asymptomatic, or phraseology, something like that. But I mean, I tell you that this guy, his age, not the healthiest person. But you know, in spite of the glowing physical reports we get from, his, you know, physician, he's right in that target audience. So the fact that they would use the word mild to me, with somebody his age, is a yellow flag, with all the different words they could use to describe that condition. The word mild is significant when it comes to people his age. Greg Lowe is going to do. Greg is a bow hunter. Yeah. And I've always been a fan of that. I mean, because to me, you know, one of the great, so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. One of the big Montana man's a bow hunter. I should probably introduce them. They would enjoy each other. They both like whiskey. Yeah. But to me, one of the best parts of working in the Marine Corps as an infantryman is being out in wherever, in nature's window, living in nature, sleeping on the ground. seeing the world from the worm's view, living in the dirt, needing a knife, and all of that. So, when I was at the basic school, I mean, it would be awesome, you're going out, you're going to walk around the woods all day. And, all the different things you see in nature and whatnot. And so to me, the hunting piece, I'm not so much about, harvesting. I often say that, if I were to go deer hunting, I'd go bow hunting. And I would have a rubber tip on the end of the bow, so it would not penetrate. But I would want that deer to know that, yeah, today was your lucky day, bro. That thing that just bounced off your rib cage, that could have been worse. You might want to clean out your ears. I've had some. I had some interesting conversations with Greg about that and all the field craft that goes into, bow hunting, the wind and tracking and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have a conversation about that. And I've always found that interesting. Here's another message. Hey, Mac, I had a similar experience years ago. I had been a iPhone person, and my daughter convinced me to get an Android phone just to try it, to be open-minded. In a moment of weakness, I said yes. I was actually surprised by the difference. I thought they would be relatively the same, and to be honest with you, I thought the Android phone would be inferior. Much to my shock, not only was it not inferior, as you're describing, in many ways, it was vastly superior to what I knew as an iPhone owner. And you put your finger on the thing that I enjoy the most, and that is the ability to customize my phone to be exactly the way I want it to be. You can't do that with an iPhone. You're very limited. So you've stumbled on very early the key difference. My own opinion is that people do what they do and are resistant to change. They're comparable phones. But if you ask me, I don't think the competition is very close. No matter what all the Richie Riches who own iPhones say. In terms of performance, in terms of utility, in terms of customization, Android system embraces vastly greater numbers of apps and innovation relative to iPhone. I don't think there's any news being broken there. But most people don't go back and forth. You're one of the few brave souls like me that would do such a thing. Well, I honestly bought it for the camera. So no matter what I think of the of the rest of it, I'll use the camera. And so, but again, I the cameras were supposed to be marginally pretty close. And I just thought, well, let me check it out. So anyway, it is Friday. I got an interesting email also about our discussion yesterday from somebody. Let me find it here. in a disturbing week of disturbing events, just want to send you guys a note and say thank you for sending the elevator down even further. Your conversation about operational excellence, to me, was spot on. I believe the most concerning thing is something that got said repeatedly during your conversation, which is, it's not even part of the conversation. If you look at the news headlines today, what are we talking about? The gender phraseology in the SEAL community. And it's like this every day. I hope there are leaders inside the DOD that are banging the table about operational excellence. It sure seems like every other thing is more important than operational excellence. I think the most disturbing two things that I've seen are the burning of the Bonhomme Richard for 5 days in port and the second mid-air collision between the F-35 and the KC-130. Refueling is a basic operation. Damage control. And I think it was UMAC that said, on a vessel that was designed to contain damage, somehow or other proved impossible in port for 5 days. I won't bore you any longer with my thoughts. Needless to say, it sickens me to see these things happen over and over and over and over. But maybe this thing has to bottom out. I'm not sure what else has to happen for anybody to see. As Will said yesterday, when you link these things together, there's a disturbing picture being painted. Hopefully somebody sees the portrait and does something about it. Always enjoy the program. Semper Fidelis. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it is disturbing. And I don't. The Bonhomme Richard, man, that's tough. That's tough. And, you know, I've heard people, I can't remember, somebody said, you know, there was cables and, you know, and lines. Look, man, you get axes. You unplug the cables. You know how long that would take you? I mean, that stuff takes minutes to do, to be able to set a condition around the fire. I mean, anyway, so much for the excuses. All right, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. It is Friday. Good morning to you. And it's dedicated to the idea that somebody puts together a pay-per-view news channel and that they and I will subscribe. And it comes with quality journalists who report news and quality opinion people from both sides who are articulate and are respectful, and so that we can be informed as a nation. And somebody gives us an option other than the shit that's on TV. So this is to that end. Please, somebody, do that. All right? Help us. All right? Help us.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
The Associated Press is reporting Joe Biden's been tested for COVID-19. They're awaiting results on him. What the hell? Time for us to check the weather here on a Friday that can't come soon enough. On a positive note, though, the baseball playoffs are awesome. If you're a baseball fan, the last few days have been great. Padres got off the mat yesterday. They're young players. Fernando Tatis and Will Meyer both went deep twice late in the game. Yeah. Tatis was he's one of the most exciting young players of baseball, but he was 0-4, you know, a game and two-thirds, and then I want to say hit two home runs in three innings. And the Padres, who have had a whole bunch of injuries to their pitching staff, are taking the St. Louis Cardinals to a third game. So, yeah, so baseball, Dodgers, you know, won last night, so they're on to the next round. I will say this. I mean, unless the people that run baseball are fools, they will find a way. This costs them 3 days. They will find a way to make this a permanent part. I mean, what the hell? Get rid of the All-Star game. Who cares about that? And get 16 teams into the playoffs. I mean, it's been great. And there's games on today. The Cubbies play. So, anyway. Currently, in Quantico, it is mostly cloudy in 64. Camp Lejeune, mostly cloudy, 68. 29 Palms, sunny in 78. Pendleton, sun in 70 right now. In Hawaii, dark cloudy and 74. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 77. Down under in Darwin, dark cloudy in 80. And in Oslo, which is in Norway, it is dark cloudy. I'm sorry. Partly sunny in 58 at the home of All Marine Radio. It's sunny in 70 here in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area. Yep. And got warm. It's been warm. It's been warm here yesterday. 96 on Wednesday. What the hell was it yesterday? It was 90, at least 94 yesterday. 94 on Thursday. So today only supposed to be 84 degrees. Yeah, how about that? So we got that going for us. 84 today, 84 tomorrow, 84 on Sunday, Monday 83, Tuesday 81. So we can live with that. But the 90s, come on, man. That's brutal. Anyway, how does a country learn to be civil again? How does an uncivil country learn to be civil again? I mean, you're watching people show up in restaurants and throw people's food, right? And all the shit that's on the table on the ground. Walk into a restaurant and just start doing that and start, you know, screaming, whatever they're screaming. You're a racist, you know, whatever. How does a country that grows more uncivil by the day become civil again? I think most of the nation's disgusted at what they see, from presidential debates to the nightly news to the leaders around this country. I mean, I am. I think most of my peers are absolutely fucking disgusted with what we see in this country. How do you change it? What changes it? I'm not sure. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It's all only on the most nimble of intellectually agile programs that you would hear Leonard Skinner followed up by Viktor Frankl, but you will hear it here.
To be sure, a human being is a finite thing, and his freedom is restricted. It is not freedom from conditions, but it is freedom to take a stand toward the conditions.
Freedom to choose your response in all situations.
As I once put it, as a professor in two fields, neurology and psychiatry, I am fully aware of the extent to which man is subject to biological, psychological, and sociological conditions. But in addition to being a professor in two fields, I am a survivor of four camps. Concentration camps, that is.
Uh-oh. Something's coming, and it's not going to be good.
And as such, I also bear witness to the unexpected extent to which man is capable of defying and braving even the worst conditions conceivable. I had none of this in mind when I wrote the book in 1945, and I did so within 9 successive days, and with the firm determination that the book would be published anonymously. In fact, the first printing of the original German version does not show my name on the cover, though at the last moment, just before the book's initial publication, I did finally give in to my friends, who had urged me to let it be published with my name at least on the title page. At first, however, it had been written with the absolute conviction that, as an anonymous opus, it could never earn its author literary fame. I had wanted simply to convey to the reader by way of a concrete example that life holds a potential meaning under any conditions, even the most miserable ones. And I thought that if the point were demonstrated in a situation as extreme as that in a concentration camp, my book might gain a hearing. I therefore felt responsible for writing down what I had gone through, for I thought it might be helpful to people who are prone to despair. And so it is both strange and remarkable to me that, among some dozens of books I have authored, precisely this one, which I had intended to be published anonymously so that it could never build up any reputation on the part of the author, did become a success. Again and again I therefore admonish my students, both in Europe and in America, don't aim at success. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you're going to miss it. For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue, and it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself.
Yeah. All Marine Radio, write this down. You're hearing this shit on All Marine Radio. Tell a friend, okay? Do a friend a favor. You won't hear this kind of stuff any other place, all right? Tell a friend, okay? Become enlightened.
Happiness must happen, and the same holds for success. You have to let it happen by not caring about it. I want you to listen to what your conscience commands you to do, and go on to carry it out to the best of your knowledge. Then you will live to see that in the long run, I say, success will follow you precisely because you had forgotten to think of it. We must never forget that we may also find meaning in life even when confronted with a hopeless situation, when facing a fate that cannot be changed. For what then matters is to bear witness to the uniquely human potential at its best, which is to transform a personal tragedy into a triumph, to turn one's predicament into a human achievement. When we are no longer able to change a situation, just think of an incurable disease such as inoperable cancer, we are challenged to change ourselves. Freedom, however, is not the last word.
Okay. Everybody pay attention. All right, put your pencils down on your desk. Right, and I want you to clear your mind and think and listen to this. I just rewound it a few seconds.
It's not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story. And
oops, not enough. Stand by. Okay, here you go. Pencils down. Pay attention.
We are challenged to change ourselves. Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth. Freedom is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon whose positive aspect is responsibleness. That is why I recommend that the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
Huh? The Statue of Responsibility, right? That stands outside the harbor of San Francisco. The Statue of Responsibility. What would that statue look like? Huh? Got any ideas? Who would it look like? The Statue of American Responsibility. Statue of Responsibility. Quote from Viktor Frankl. Images associated with the Statue of Responsibility. here's a picture. We must build the Statue of Responsibility. A monumental shift in American values is needed. Written in 2017 by a guy named Brett Cooper. And the Statue of Responsibility is... It's on a pedestal and it's one hand helping another. So that's one interpretation. The statue, oh, here's another version of it. It's all the same so far, the same hands. One hand reaching down to pull somebody else up. And you see it over and over and over and over again. And then here's Viktor Frankl. The Statue of Responsibility. Yeah, it's a no kidding thing. Guy standing there with it in his hand. In pewter, it looks like, no less. Statue of Responsibility. Freedom, then, is only half the story. Is what? Hold on. Let me play that again.
To be sure, a human.
To be sure. Now, that's not Frankel, just so you know. You know, I'm going to have to, like, binge watch anything I can watch on Frankel to hear him talking about this, to see, find him saying this. Okay, here it is one more time. Think about it. Think about if the nation embraced this, that along with being free, that is absolutely, right, the obligation that goes with that freedom is to be responsible.
Form a personal tragedy into a triumph, to turn one's predicament into a human achievement. When we are no longer able to change a situation, just think of an incurable disease such as inoperable cancer, we are challenged to change ourselves.
Okay, now, again, put your pencils down, stop what you're doing, and listen to this. Okay, how do we get to this? Right? Think about this, that when we spoke, if and when we speak about freedom, that we talked about our responsibility. You have a responsibility to others in your community not to harm them. You have a responsibility to your family not to be a shit show. You know, and it seems to me that now that I think about it, the most fucked up people I know are the most selfish people I know. And so if you were to talk to them about their responsibilities, you'd be speaking, and here's what they would hear. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, that's what they would hear. Would not even hear you. So, preaching to the choir here, but...
Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth.
That is unbelievable, right? That is rich, man. How did he think of that?
Is only part of the story.
Hold on. I've got to find the exact second. So I got to go back to 30? 330 exactly?
Freedom, however, is not the last word.
Nope. How about 3:27:26? Here you go.
To change ourselves.
The beep is at 3:28. Write that down. All right. I mean, what an incredible quote.
Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth. Freedom is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon whose positive aspect is responsibleness. That is why I recommend that the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
A Statue of Responsibility. I don't like... I'm not a fan of the Statue of Responsibility that I see. It's just, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just not what, it's not my idea of the Statue of Responsibility. Statue of Responsibility has to look like the statue, it has to look like the Statue of Liberty. This looks like a piece of art. Right? Maybe who embodies or what embodies responsibility in our history? Who or what? How do we portray responsibility from American history? Who embodies that? Interesting question. If you have a thought, let me know. Let me know. Frankel, I mean, come on, that's awesome. One more time. Just because I love it.
Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth.
That's rich, man. If you're a writer, that's quality shit.
Freedom is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon whose positive aspect is responsibleness. That is why I recommend that the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
Yeah, and the Statue of Responsibility would have to look like the Statue of Liberty, right? Not some piece of fucking art. Oh, my God. That would be the problem with getting it built. You'd have the artists involved in it. Oh, my God. And them and their feelings. And you said, and if you, like, showed up, you look like, that looks like shit. Like, somebody starts crying. You're like, oh, my God, I got to deal with this now. It doesn't really look like shit. It looks like caca. So I'm not sure how, what it looks like, who it looks like, but I know it's got to be like the Statue of Liberty. It's got to be, and the idea of being responsible has got to be as daunting as the idea of Liberty does. Lady Liberty handing up a turn. So what does Lady Responsibility do on the West Coast? What is she holding? Or what is Mr. Responsibility? I mean, we do have a woman on the West Coast. Probably should have somebody. I mean, we do have a woman on the East Coast. So to balance out, we should have a man on the West Coast. Or at least somebody who identifies as a man. Woo! Where's the rim shot when I need it? That was funny. There it is. We need to have somebody who identifies as a man in the statue. So, yeah, and then what would they be? So, to picture responsibility, what would it be? It's not a piece of art. Statue of Liberty, when I look at her, I don't see art. I see this American thing. Not this, oh, look at that. What does it mean to you? No, I see this beacon in the night, this case for American exceptionalism, which will piss everybody off, right? Hey, just want to give a shout out to my boy Brock, headed to the orthodontist. What is up? Good luck at the orthodontist. That sucks. Anyway, yeah. What does the Statue of Responsibility look like? Is it somebody standing in line to join the military after the attack on Pearl Harbor to serve their country, who came home in a wooden coffin and wanted to be a farmer? Is that what the Statue of Responsibility looks like? Standing in line, smoking a cigarette, December 8th, 1942. Right? Is it a series of shots? Is it somebody, you know, marching in one of the civil rights marches in the 60s? What would the Statue of Responsibility look like? Because we're dying for it in this country, man. Everybody's got freedom and everybody's got, but nobody has the responsibility. It's called duty, I think. That's what we would say. We want to talk about your rights. You want to talk about your responsibilities, your duty as an American? Oh, not only no, but fuck no, man. We don't want to have that conversation. It's all about what I want. You know, I remember interviewing Eric Smith, now Lieutenant General. He was Lieutenant Colonel at the time. He was the CO-15 in Ramadi in 2005. I had just come home. We had served together in Ramadi. He was current ops for the division when I was there. And so I had him on. And he said, you know, these guys come back from patrol and from out, and they're fighting all day, and you know, they come back and they got to fill sandbags, they got to clean weapons, they got to PM vehicles. He said, you know, and they're not happy a lot of times. He said, but my job is to give them what they need, not what they want. So, anyway, responsibilities, man. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Greg Lowe is going to join me. We're going to talk about bow hunting. We'll talk a little bit about a news story and a sports story. So, don't touch that dial. He's always an interesting guy. and tends to be a fun guy to have on. So Greg Lotus coming up next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Three tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
6 years treating soldiers.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
My son saved lives as a medic in the military, and I always remind him how much his service meant to our country.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
I called because I was concerned about my son. We got him connected to care, and it's made a difference.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net.